When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. Spike Ferriston here. We're always happy to see Spike.
Nice to be here.
And, you know, this is fortuitous because there's going to be a lot of Porsche talk.
Ooh.
in this episode of CarCast. We don't normally...
Thank God.
Porsche. We don't normally talk a ton about Porsches, but I think everybody appreciates Porsche because they have to. Unless you're a Mopar guy. But you must appreciate Porsche because of their heritage and because of their precision and because of their simplicity. And there's just so much to appreciate. And one of the things that's going to happen today is we'll talk with Spike about what he's doing. Spike's Car Radio, by the way, the podcast. And there's a new show every Wednesday on Podcast One and iTunes, and of course Seinfeld's been a guest, and Jason Bateman, and hey, look at me, Adam Carolla's on there too, Russell Peters, Chris Hardwick. So check that out if you like cars, because Spike knows. The guy who was driving the RSR, the Donahue RSR, beautiful blue.
The blue one that we talked about last week with the racing.
The Maniac.
It's going to call it.
He threw his hand up in the air. We got to find out why, what that was about.
Yeah, and there's also, there's stuff from practice where if you go scan practice a little there, Max Zapata, the qualifying practice, I think Saturday morning, me and him were dicing it up quite a bit. And he was a little aggressive and a little loose out there. And the reason I say
especially
that
for practice.
I have a sort of yardstick, Spike, that I can measure a man's aggressiveness and or looseness when he drives the vintage automobile, which is at Laguna Seca, when you wind all the way down to turn 11, that's the turn right before, at the end
I
of the straightaway.
Yep.
You know. You go all the way down. If you're behind a pack of cars, let's say you're 150 feet behind and there are three or four cars in front of you that are dicing it up, you're not going to pass anyone on that corner and probably not on the straightaway. Like, you're too far back.
Yeah.
But you see what they're doing. You'll always see one car before turn 11 or going into turn 11 slide in hard, like left, and then you'll see a puff of smoke come from one of their rear tires, and then you'll see them slide back out and again, and then the next lap, you'll see the exact same thing again, and you realize that guy just went in hard. He's gonna slide in, realize the window got closed, jammed on the brakes, locked up his right rear tire, puff of smoke, and now he's back in the queue again. That
turn works in the video games. That's why we all do it.
Because what happens?
Yeah, you come into that turn, you crash into all the other cars in the video game, and you go ahead five cars. But you can't do it in real life.
So I was noticing that, and that's Albert, is it... Arcero? Let's see. He's on line two. We've never had this before. I don't think we've ever... I've done a million vintage races. I've never had a guy just from the race call in. But we thought it was funny.
I think he's going to be mad.
No.
Good.
Albert?
Yeah.
You, I meant.
That's
it. Now, well.
Can I say your... How do I pronounce your last name?
It's Arciero.
Arciero. All right.
Yeah.
Spike Ferriston is here, and Matt DeAndrea are here, so you can say hi to them.
Hello.
Hello, Spike. Hello, Matt.
So tell us about your car first.
My car?
Your RSR.
It's the little blue number 6 Sonoka Porsche.
It's okay. Beautiful.
It was actually raced in 1973 by Mark Donahue and George Palmer at Daytona. And it's the second car that was ever made. When Porsche decided to go racing, the Brumos car was actually the first car, and this was the second car.
Unbelievable.
And, it led the Daytona race until they it beat all the big cars, and it was raining, and they actually had sort of like a street tire on the car. So it took off, and it led, and it had pulled away. That car and the Brumos car pulled away, and they ended up burning a piston and didn't finish the race. So that's the real history of the car.
Was Peter Gregg driving the Brumos car?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was, and he actually won the race.
I just said that so Spike would think
I'm
I knew something about Porsches.
Very impressed. With 2 G's, right?
Yeah.
Peter Gregg.
So, Albert, now you own the car. You've restored the car. It looks beautiful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We own the car. We got a bunch of parts and stuff from Penn. The car was actually crashed at one time, and it was repaired and everything. And all the parts of the car are actually from the original car.
It's a beautiful piece, and has to be worth a lot of money.
Well, we hope so one day.
And you drive it pretty aggressively for a car that's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, you did a hell of a job yourself, you know?
Well, I noticed you, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate it. I just thought this guy's driving the wheels off this car. My car, I never drove before, and it made good power at the beginning, and then it started to fall off on the power. We're trying to figure out what's wrong with it. But
well, tell Canapa he better do something about that.
I know. That's right, and do it and for free. Because that guy doesn't charge enough money.
That is not happening.
That's not happening. So just mentioning his name, he gets a dollar.
I know. I'm trying to figure out, Albert. So, like, sort of remember we were dicing it up in practice or qualifying Saturday morning pretty good, right?
Right.
And then I had this sort of vague recollection that I may have passed you for that. But then when we went out to the grid, you were ahead of me. And then at some point you looked at me out your window and you just went, "Don't do anything crazy," or something like that. "Take it easy on me." And I was like, "Really? Find a mirror."
No, I had a real tough time with Lewis and Jeff Lewis. And he was in that other 935 that was on the other side of me.
The white one?
It was white and had a little bit of orange on it also.
Oh, right. That may have been a RSR? That was 934 or something? Or was it a 935? Oh, 935.
It was 934. You're right.
Right.
And I had a hard time with him because he'd close the door on me all the time. I got a little upset about that, you know. So he was the only one I was really concentrating on. Everybody else I didn't care about, you know.
Yeah, no, clearly you didn't see me. That's for sure.
Albert, I'm curious if you got a chance to see the video we posted, this like 3.5 minute video, if any of your guys showed you that, of Adam's lap, because you're in the beginning of it, I don't know, lap 1, 2,
the start
like
of the race.
Yeah, kind of start of the race.
Right.
And if you haven't seen the video, the guy in the other white Porsche got awfully close, and then I think you threw a hand out. It could have been
a hand went out the window.
It could have been a hey. I'm not sure what was going on there.
It's funny because prior to all this, okay, about a week ago, someone called me and says, "Hey, so I heard your name on the Adam Carolla show." I go, "You gotta kid me." I said, "What's that all about?" He says, "Well, it was about the pranks of Bruce Meyer." Okay. Bruce Canepa and myself are the ones that did that prank.
The Whittington Brothers 935 prank.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
Exactly. So the guys at the shop, our race shop here, we're actually developers by trade, but we've been in racing all our life, okay? My dad had Gurney and Jimmy Clark and Bobby Unser and Hal Unser and everybody else drove our cars. Okay, so my brother and myself, we could afford that kind of racing, so we did off-road racing for 25 years, 30 years. So then we got into the vintage car racing after a while. But anyway, Bruce
Meyer?
When it was Meyer's birthday, you know, Canepa called me and says, hey, he says, we ought to do something for Bruce Meyer's birthday. I says, well, you know what? I just got an article about the Whittingtons, and they're going to try to indict them again, okay? And that's how that whole thing started. So that was a pretty good prank.
They own the 935 that Bruce has, last car, yeah. Last production car to win Le Mans outright.
'79.
But I want to. I know that story. We've told that story. I'm curious about your hand flying out the window at the beginning of the race.
That's what I was curious about.
Because we can watch it. We're looking at it now. There's your hand out the window, but you got to go back to see if the guy. So the guy in the 934, you felt like he was pinching you a little bit.
Yeah, he was all over me. You know, I was trying to get underneath him, and he'd close the door on me, you know?
But it was funny to see your hand fly out of the window, because when you do the vintage racing, they go, you should have a net in your window. And mm-hmm. if you don't have a net in your window, they want to know if you're wearing arm restraints, like if you're wearing an open cockpit car. Yeah. But so hands flying out of the window, probably something they frown on, yeah. I think, Albert. But I like you. You're an emotional man. You're an Italian guy, right?
Right. Exactly.
So that's an Italian move.
Yeah.
Or if there was one Jew in the race, that might be a Jew move.
He might have been ordering food. You don't know.
It looks like suburban road rage to me, just everyday suburban road rage.
So where are you located, Albert? We got to come up and see your shop, and you got to come down and see us.
You guys are more than welcome. We're up here in Foothill Ranch. We're over by Oakley, right above El Toro Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
Yeah, we know where that is.
We have quite a few cars here. We have a couple Super Vs, my Lister, which I was just parked just, you know, a couple spots down from where you were, Adam. And I have the Silver Lister and a Lotus 11.
Yeah.
I have Dan Gurney's Lotus 19 here, so I have quite a few cars.
The Lister's quite... Were you racing the Lister over the weekend?
Yes, I was. Yes,
that seems like a handful to drive.
That is a handful, right? Oh,
it is a handful, exactly.
How'd you finish in the race? How'd you do in the race?
The Lister race, I finished, I think, fifth. I got hit by a car that spun out and sort of took a little momentum away, but other than that... we ended up fifth.
How'd you do in my race, our race?
I finished, I think, in your guys' race, I finished 18th.
Oh, all right, so I finished 16th, so I barely nipped
you. Well,
that
was actually the smallest car, the highest finishing small car.
Yeah, you were hauling butt in a car in a sea of Decon Monzas and 935s and
some of those guys out there are monsters. You know that. Some of those guys are just monsters, man.
What kind of horsepower do you think you're making in that?
I got 200, I think it's 250 or something like that, 260 horsepower.
So he's literally giving away 500 horsepower to some of those guys out there.
You're doing everything that car could possibly do then. With that kind of horsepower, you're just going way beyond the limits of that car.
Thanks.
The tires were bald and the brakes were worn out.
Thanks,
Albert.
Well,
you're going to go fast, right?
we'll come see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for taking my call. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
I do. That's what you got to love about the vintage racing. You just randomly run into a guy who's sort of around you on the track, and he starts laying all this history out and all the cars he owns.
How old is that guy?
I don't know. I never saw him.
He sounds like an older guy,
right? He doesn't
sound
young.
Oh, there are guys out there hauling ass that are 70 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Vintage racers.
Vintage racers.
Our buddy Bill Warner, 74, went out there in his TR6 and ran his fastest lap he's ever done in that car.
Wow. Yeah, there are lots of older dudes that still haul ass in those cars, like in terms of what leaves first, in terms of guys, you know, pick up basketball games and stuff like that become a thing of the past. But the being fast in the car, the average age of the guys in my race is probably 57 years old, and they're most of them are hauling ass.
Right.
So it's cool. And then this guy, that car is a cool piece.
Beautiful.
Donahue.
That's really nice. Beautiful. Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a very specific blue that the Porsche set likes in the kind of the Albert blue category.
Yeah, that Sunoco is a great It's a great hue. It's great.
That same livery's on a 917-30, if you've ever seen that car.
Oh, yes.
Big monster of a 917.
Yeah, we have. We did a sort of highlight on that car at Goodwood, right? The 917-30, right? That's the, oh, that's the Can-Am open cockpit car. And that's a, it's great looking, although it looks different on fiberglass than it does on steel a little bit, but it's still a perfect color for a street car or a race car. Yeah. It's just a great, it's a great blue.
That 917 at Goodwood was amazing.
It's a monster.
That thing is pricey.
Yeah.
That's got quite a price tag on it.
What? Oh, you mean the one? Well, you don't know what it's selling for, do you?
No. I'm just saying the value of that car is
yeah, I don't know, $25 million. Yeah. I don't know. That one, the one we looked at, Porsche owned, I believe. They brought it out.
I think you're right.
That was, it was not a privateer. But you, all right. Let me tell you. FanDuel. Ah, football is back, which means FanDuel is back. Fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests start every week. No busted seasons. Yeah, me and Sonny did our fantasy football draft last night. I think we're out of it already, even though the season hasn't even started.
Really?
Yeah. We're mathematically, we've been eliminated before the first game has started. Don't do that. Use FanDuel, man. Lots of contests to choose from. Start at just $1. Just $1. Pick up a contest, choose your team, watch the score in real time. Over 2.5 million players won cash prize, and they won a cash prize. So you're going to win. You want to win? Let's go with FanDuel. FanDuel.com. Just click now and join now and hit the button over there at FanDuel.com. It says join now and hit the code CARCAST with the first deposit on your FanDuel. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million. Over $1 million in cash prizes. Why wouldn't we do this, people? Go to FanDuel.com and use the promo code CARCAST and get into that NFL Sunday Million. All right, Spike. Let's talk about you. Anything new in your garage? Anything you're lusting after?
There's some stuff going on. I heard yesterday that I'm getting a GT2 RS, which I was a little worried about because these GT cars lately, the special ones, they don't make a lot of them. And unless you're a 918 guy, you're not in the VIP program.
Has a list then, like Ferrari does.
If you bought the Porsche 918, which was, I think, about $1 million, you became part of their VIP program. And what's significant about that is, and no one knew this was happening, or at least I didn't know it was happening. And didn't, by the way, didn't have $1 million to spend on a 918. But you are offered first any of these various, like the 911R came out.
Yeah.
They're going to make, I think they only made 991 of those, or maybe 918. And a lot of the Porsche fans wanted them, but only the guys who were 918 buyers could get them. And it pissed a lot of people off. So, it was a little bit of a relief to hear that I think Porsche is now making more of these cars to avoid this problem, this VIP program problem that they have.
But they still want exclusivity with the cars. They still kind of limit the amount of cars.
I don't know.
Cars.
I'm hearing things like, if you want a GT3, go ahead and order one. You'll get one. We're going to make enough GT3s for everybody. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be, by the way? Aren't they supposed to make...
They're in the business of making money, right? So,
right.
If you sell cars, you make money.
My experience is when you have a car that you can't buy, like, you know, Ferrari's very controlling with their cars, too, that after a while you go, especially if you're someone who has a lot of money, you're a Silicon Valley guy, you go, well, I'm just going to go buy a McLaren.
Yep.
Or I'm going to go to Porsche. I'm just going to jump to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're right. They're leaving a lot of money on the table. And so I think that's what, you know, I don't know.
I was
happy to hear there's a GT2 RS with my name on it. But now I hope they don't make too many.
You wanted enough so you can be on the list, but not too many.
Yeah, I want to be able to get out of it a year from now and tell my wife, hey, I actually made $50,000 on the car.
I was wanting to do a coffee table book called what black people think white people are talking about. And this last passage would be a nice entry into my coffee table book. Some black folk, that's what they think. You got to buy the 918, otherwise you're not in the club. You don't have a 918.
It's unbelievable. I mean, even what Ferrari wants you to buy. You've got to buy five significant Ferraris.
I understand. If you sell too early, you get punished by being forced to buy three other cars.
Wait, the craziest thing I heard was the Ford GT. If you wanted to get one of these Ford GTs, that there was a five-page application with an essay.
An essay.
And I was like, well, who's grading this essay? Mm-hmm. And how are you evaluating that?
They're just collecting them and laughing because people are doing it, right?
Is it the dealer? Is it service? What guy?
I get it in the sense that it's kind of weird because, like, I could remember some years ago, you'd talk to all your friends on the East Coast and the Midwest, and they'd be like, I want to come out there and try that In-N-Out burger, you know? And you'd go, yeah, you got to try an In-N-Out burger. And then I started thinking to myself, and I think we even talked to them once or something, but I was like, why don't you just open an In-N-Out burger in Chicago? I bet they would sell in Chicago. And they're like, because we don't want to.
Right. It's
like, yeah, but why not? You just make money. And they're like, we can't control it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'll soon pay someone $16 an hour to control it and make a bunch of money.
Right.
And they're like, no.
This is Ray Kroc in the original McDonald's.
It's just kind of family run. We like the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but why not? And they're like, well, people in Illinois have heard of an In-N-Out burger, haven't they? Yeah, well, they can just come here and get one if they so desired. It's like, I think they like that.
Well, there is a certain amount of brand management, and, you know, we want what we can't have, but I don't know. I'm just looking at it through my point of view, which is I do an awful lot for your brand. I'm out here talking about it constantly wherever I go. It's on my social media. I collect these cars, but I can't get one.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and
yeah,
that,
but now that you just told everybody you're going to flip it, I'm not going to flip it. Well, you're going to just tell your
but
wife you're going to flip it.
That's what the essay portion of the test is for, because right. you start off by saying, I'm a humble man.
Yes.
And I live a humble life. Yeah. Uh-huh. While I appreciate the 918, surely I can't afford it. Although, I'm an ambassador for your brand by going on popular podcasts, mm-hmm. such as CarCast. I own
they
many of your vehicles. And if they read the essay part, they'd go, you know what? I like this kid.
I like this guy. He's good.
He's good. Yeah.
Porsche Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I just write that 100 times.
It'd be like,
look at this. This is different than every other essay we got.
Yeah, you'd get into Stuttgart U because they'd go, his SAT scores aren't that great. Yeah. Maybe he's going to need a little help, financial aid. But look at this. He's got grit.
Porsche did not. Porsche wasn't the essay. They don't do the essays.
Wow. But you wish they would. Ford. You wish they would.
Yeah.
Because the essay would, if they did the essay, then you should be in line to get one of those.
I personally believe everybody who wants one of these things should be able to get one. How many orders do we have? Let's make that many.
Well, especially
that's what I think business is all about.
You tell me, you know more about Porsches than I do. Although the Peter Gregg talk and the 934,
I'm starting to realize, get
the bona fides with Spike. But okay, the thing about the Ford GT is that's totally bespoke, and you have to make X amount of tubs and X amount of everything's. The Porsches are all basically landing on a pretty familiar tub, right? Mm-hmm. So you're now putting in the better engine and the intake and the bigger brakes
and the wider
suspension,
and the big
whatever.
Wing and
but
all that,
but the tub's there, so it's like if Ford said, "Look, we don't want to make 10,000 of these things; it's just too much." I'd go, "I get it," but if it was on a Fiesta tub, and all you had to do is put the big flares on and the bigger turbo and the intercooler and everything, I'd go, "Well, why don't you just keep doing that?" Like you can, and I feel that way about Porsche. Like you can keep doing this, right? And to your argument, make more.
Yeah, I think you can hang it out there years ahead of time and say, who's interested in this stuff? And get a pretty specific idea. You could even say, who wants one? And then there'd be a number. You'd have a number. Look, let's make 4,000 of them.
How many of these cars? And again, I do think these folks know what they're doing in that better to have everyone. You know, it's a sort of a thing where I think it's like this. I think it's like you're a band and you're better off playing a 900 seat theater and selling it out, just having people standing around, than playing a 6,000 seat arena and having just the front loge section like filled up. And I think that's them. Like, they just want people banging on the door going, I want to see this band.
Here's what I used to think about the brand, and I don't know if it's the same. It's that they made these Cayennes, these Macans, these regular normal Porsches in the beginning of a run. The regular 991, 911, the 996, the 997. And then towards the end of the run, they made the special cars for the purists. That's the way we used to hear about that. Just wait. There'll be some special 964s coming just for you guys, you know.
Right.
But now that you guys category is pretty much the entire fan base of Porsche. It's you know, because everybody wants to have that special car.
Right.
So, you know, now – you know, I hear we're at that end of that 991.2 run right now, and the special cars are coming out. One of them, obviously, is the GT3 that's out right now. The GT2 RS is coming out, but there are also some special packages we're hearing about, like a touring package for the new GT3, which would mean no wing, and you can get it with a manual transmission and 500 horsepower, which is very much like a 911R. That you weren't allowed to buy.
Right.
But they won't acknowledge that package is coming along. There's also, I've heard rumors about a GT3 Speedster.
Wow.
So a GT3 Speedster variant.
Yeah.
I can't even picture what that looks like in my head, but maybe they're the cowl behind the seats and then the wing.
Right.
But I think they have a couple of little surprises coming along. That Speedster idea, I hear they're only going to make 356 of those. So that's half the VIP program. But it's 356, like Porsche 356. How cute.
Right. But you know, does it become like a porn addiction where you're just like, you just go, what's next? Like, you're never satiated. You're never satisfied.
Totally.
It's always just, what's
totally.
Next?
Totally.
What's
yes.
next?
Absolutely.
Because it's so funny as you look back, like for some reason, I remember when the Audi R8 was coming out.
Yeah.
And I remember going, God, that's beautiful. How much are those? Nice. 161,000. I said, oh boy, look at that. Look at that thing. It's beautiful. And then I went like, well, maybe I'll get one, but I'll wait a couple of years. Let somebody buy it. And then I'll take it off their hands for 85 grand, you know? So then right about that time, the V10 came out. And I was like, oh, look at that one.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's got V10.
That's you got don't want all the V8. Things that I wanted the V8 to have.
It's it's got the okay, well, we'll wait on that. We're going to wait on that one. We'll give it a couple years, and now then they have, you know, the F edition comes out.
It's V10 Plus or something.
Right,
or
whatever. You know, we're going to wait on that.
Yeah. The obsession
with the Nismo version.
Yeah. The point of the story, though, is how many R8s have you owned?
Zero. But
no,
my
zero
point
now.
Is like it's this
waiting.
Thing where we constantly have this, oh, it's coming out, and before you know it, it's, pardon the pun, in our rearview mirror, and it's like, oh, that's the old
absolutely.
One.
Yeah, no, now throw paint to sample in the middle of that, and you've got like a 12-month delay. I know guys who got paint to sample GT3 RSs, the last variant, and by the time they get the car, no one cared about it.
Right.
It was already like, oh, we're done with that. We're talking about 911Rs. And have you seen the GT2 RS? But you're right. You can jump onto this ride at any point in the future.
Yeah.
They're always going to be making the next new thing. Because after these special cars comes, of course, the new 911.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be blowing that out, and you're looking at that, and now you're taking delivery of this other thing.
As far as, like, making as many as you need to the customers are happy, you're not talking about making 70,000 GT2
no,
RSs,
no.
right? Like,
yeah.
we're not – it's still a small number.
Yeah, they should double the VIP program.
Right. So you're talking, like, 1,500 cars.
A couple grand. They should make 2,000 of
all
these.
All right.
Well, Spike, you should have this in your garage right next to the Porsche, the Garage Boss. New Reacher height adjustable drain pan. We use these things over at the other shop. Gets right under your drain plug. It prevents misses or splashes. Works with the low profile cars or cars up on ramps or jack stands, trucks, whatever. Works with everything. Drains into a sealed container, so you can just take it right down to the recycling center. No muss, no fuss, no doing the transfer thing into the 1 gallon milk jug or any of that stuff. Now, all you have to clean up is the catch funnel. The pieces snap back into the drain container, and it works just like that. We're looking at one right now. Perfecto. Mm-hmm. Plus, a new line of crystal clear funnels, so you can see what's pouring in, and prevent the overspilling. I don't know how many times I've done a funnel, and I poured the oil or the coolant or whatever too fast, and overflowed the funnel. Anyway, it's Garage Boss exclusively at AutoZone, or you can go to AutoZone.com. You check out the video at AutoZone.com. See Garage Boss, or you just go to Garage Boss. That's Garage. That's Go Garage Boss, BOSS.com. You see everything you need to at GoGarageBoss.com. So, Spike, what else do you got in there? You're waiting on the GT2.
You know, I've been driving my old Land Rover Series 2A a lot this summer. I've got, I took up to Monterey this year a 1977 Volkswagen police car that served in Würzburg, Germany from 77 to 91, full horn and radio. It was really satisfying to be able to talk to traffic when you're driving through Carmel and there are people waiting to park and looking for spots, and you go, you can just yell, "There are no spots, keep moving," and flash your lights. That car is a dream.
Volkswagen.
Yeah, it's an old Volkswagen. It's an old Volkswagen Beetle.
Are most Porsche guys sort of de facto Volkswagen guys?
Yeah, well, the engine's in the rear on some of these Volkswagens, and they have, you get a little bit of the 356 feel. You know, in fact, I recommend all the time, if you can't afford a 356, get into Volkswagens. Start there, and you'll get a little bit of that experience.
You were doing a kind of an outlaw car at some point when I talked to you about a year or so ago.
I was.
You were building up something. I can't remember exactly
what
it was.
I don't know what that could have been.
I was asking you. The reason it sticks in my mind is you said you were building, I think, a four-cylinder Porsche engine.
Oh, right.
What kind of induction does that have? And you went, I don't know.
No, it's Jerry's building one. He's getting a Polo motor where they kind of, I think they take a flat six and they chop off a couple cylinders, and then you've got this little four-cylinder deal that you put in a speedster.
And I thought you were building an engine too, but
he had a twin plug John Wilhoit engine in his car that he gave to me. We did this giant engine swap with our friends.
Oh.
I took out my 356 engine and gave it to my friend. Jerry gave me this one, and he put the Palopolis thingy in his deal.
So maybe that's what,
maybe that's what
we,
it was.
We were talking about. Now, so where's that engine going for you? Is it going in a car? Is it in a car?
I put it in my 58 Speedster.
I sent
the car down to John Wilhoit. He installed it. We essentially, you know, I gave him the marching orders that I wanted this 58 Speedster to drive like a 58 Speedster. Mm-hmm. So let's forget about disc brakes. Let's go with drum brakes. Let's redo those brakes. So the whole car feels like a 58 and sounds like a 58, but it's got 150 horsepower instead of 75 now. It's a true death trap. It's wonderful.
Oh, right. Yeah, and we're talking about induction or something.
Yeah,
and that's what it was.
These are things I don't care about.
You don't sweat those kind of details. I'm going with downdraft Webers.
Why not?
Well, first of all,
it's 58. It's going to be period correct 58, right?
If you want 150 horsepower, like, I don't know. Like, I know I had a Lamborghini with Porsche aftermarket racing carburetors on it once because they needed the triple choke variety. So if somebody says, here's your four-cylinder Porsche engine, but I want it to pull, I don't know if you go, oh, we'll just use the Webers, or you go, we're going to use some kind of injection, or we're going to use these aftermarket Porsche racing carburetors, like a little more modern or something. I don't know. I don't know enough about them to know that. Do you know about injection on like old like kits? Like, you know, so they do all the injection now on all the crate motors that guys are putting in their Shelby Cobra kits and stuff like that. Like, anyone building a modern day, or a lot of people building a modern day car with a V8 power plant would go with an injection system now.
Well, I don't know what they use specifically on the Porsches, but there are, you know, a lot of ways to take what would be like your Weber injection and convert it to individual throttle bodies and then just add the fuel rail and electronics.
You said Weber injection, but like Weber carbs.
All the individual ones. If you're running four carbs or six carbs or whatever.
And then you get a management system and like a computer, and then it's a lot easier to tune it and figure it out.
There are probably kits out there, tons of them, for Porsches that do that, but there's also pretty easy custom ways of doing it. Like, any competent Porsche guy or your hot rod guy could take the carbureted manifold that's on it and convert it to fuel injection.
Spike, do you have I know you're not a cars and coffee guy. My biggest.
I do my own private cars and coffee on the porch at the Malibu Kitchen, which you come to any weekend. I sit with my friends, and people drive cars. They come after the car shows and hang out.
Yes.
And we kind of see them pulling in, and I like movement. I don't like stationary.
The cars and coffee thing, it's like Sunday 6 a.m. Sounds like a real bummer to me.
Somebody posted pictures of one the other day. It was just like fog over there. You couldn't see anything.
To get out at Trancas, the one that's closest to my house, you got to get there at 5:30 or there'll be no place to park. I'm like, I'm not getting up at 5:30 on a Saturday morning. Tell you what, I'm going to go to breakfast at 11. Why don't you guys come over there and we'll talk cars then?
I'm a conscientious objector to it. Because I feel for the neighbors of these people who are pulling the flathead rat rod out of the garage in Reseda at 5:10 on Sunday morning. You got to fire up that flathead with the open exhaust, and like you're backing that thing out the driveway at 5:15 because you got to get to Trancas by 6. Who are these people? You got to be miserable if you are. I'll bet you, I could get 10,000 people on the phone right now who would tell me, I live next door to a guy. He's got a big block. He's got a Hillborn injection, open side, whatever. He goes to that goddamn cars and coffee every fucking Sunday. Mm-hmm, every Sunday morning, he fires that thing up at 5:20 and starts backing it out the driveway. And I'm like, those poor, miserable neighbors, right?
Well, that's a lot of modern cars, too. My neighbors, it's a Lamborghini Huracan. And I know time he leaves the house. Every time.
But if that guy was cars and coffee, it's wake up every Sunday at 5:30.
Here's the thing that's going on. I'm fascinated with cars and coffee because these things, they start somewhere and they instantly grow like a giant cancer and then they get too big for the venue.
Right.
I just interviewed Patrick Long for my show. And the same thing's happening with Luftekult. You know, I said, why was it in Long Beach? He goes, it just gets so big and it's the biggest, we needed a big place to do it. And you go, what are you doing next? He goes, I'm looking for a bigger place.
Yeah, he's going to be at the LA Convention Center now. He's going to be like a senior.
You know what we need to do? We need to shrink it, and I'll tell you how.
All right.
We go with a tailhook type controversy. You know, tailhook started as just a bunch of guys who landed, they were tailhookers. They landed jets on aircraft carriers, and it was like a little hangout in San Diego and have some beers. Next thing you know, it spins into this massive thing. Next thing you know, they bring in some ladies, and we got a Duke lacrosse situation on our hands, and the whole thing gets shut down. So that's what we'll do with cars and coffee. We'll bring some ladies in from Nevada. Mm-hmm. There'll be some allegations.
Yeah.
There'll be some scandal of white privilege, and it'll just shut the whole goddamn thing down.
Every wife and girlfriend will say,
you're not going anywhere. That's right.
All right. All those cars and coffee guys, they need Geico.
Oh, they do.
They need Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. They drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk, and you can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. I just spent like $100 on AN fittings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like you could just spend a fortune on that stuff alone and braided hose line. So this is good. It's the most rewarding to-do list of the day. Save money at geico.com.
Yeah. Go Geico, man. So, Spike, how many cars do you own? Where are they?
Specifically.
When are you leaving town?
I live on the west side of L.A. I had to get out of Hollywood when I had kids and try to have a normal kind of upbringing for these two young men. And I've been down at Santa Monica Airport for about 20 years. And, you know, I do not have a giant car collection. A lot of people go, how do you have so many cars? Most of the cars I put on my feeds are friends' cars, or I'm borrowing friends' cars or driving stuff, or I'm, you know, doing car matchmaker and I have a car for a week. I have anywhere between – I've gone as low as 2 and as high as 10. That's what I would say. And I had a discussion with someone this weekend who believes the perfect number of cars – I agree with him completely. Guys get a lot of money. He's Silicon Valley guy. Eight is the perfect number of cars for him. If he's got eight and a new car comes in, he's got to sell something that week to get rid of the other car. And I feel that number could be a little lower. Six starts to feel unwieldy for me, mm-hmm. you know, because I think once you push past six, now you're getting into things that you don't drive. And if you're not driving stuff, well, now it's just sitting there
breaking. If you have a couple
breaking,
of collectors,
right.
you know.
And this just, I'm a driver, so everything I own, I have to be driving. And I will, like, Thursday or Friday, go down to the hangar, pick something up, and then I'm driving it straight through to Monday.
I will.
Are there any hangars
this.
Left over there?
Yeah, you know what? There are.
Are there, really?
Yeah, they're trying to shut that airport down.
so there may be a lot of hangars.
So it's just going to be cars.
And they
at
made
that point?
One of these gloriously insane announcements that the airport will be closing in 11 years. So nobody knows what that means. So the leases began, instead of leasing a place for a year, you lease it for the month. It's month to month, which is actually desirable. Because now you can leave it whenever you want. You know, they're a little expensive.
Does anybody own hangars?
I think there are a few guys who own hangars down there, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that works, but
yeah, I don't know.
They got grandfathered in. But it's police protected, the whole deal.
This
is going to
go in my coffee table book, What Black People Think White.
There's a lot of really good car collections.
The number of cars is eight. You need eight cars. They'll be reading on the bus. They'll be reading all that, waiting for a transfer. And yeah. Eight. No, sure, you could have 28. Sure, but you don't want it. You can't drive 28 cars. Now, you don't want to get screwed and have five cars.
No.
That's
not
that's
a question.
If we can't have these conversations here, where can we have it?
Five's
you know, by
not
the way,
a
you know what else I have that I just occurred to me? I have a 935 wheel that I've had for about 20 years that I use as a coffee table. My
Whoa.
Friend Sam Cabiglio gave me, and apparently it's from a significant car.
A rear wheel or a front wheel?
How big's your coffee table?
It's the rear wheel.
Okay.
So it's a 19.
It's a BBI. It's kind of gold.
BBS, right?
BBS?
Must
right.
be BBS.
And
unless there's a company called BBI that made these
didn't
things.
I should know this. I don't know. But I thought Seinfeld bought a 935 or a 934. Apparently, this wheel is off that car.
So if it's a rear, is it real deep? I mean,
yeah,
is it
yeah,
real?
Very
so
big.
It's like 14,
uh-huh.
15 inches. So what they did is the reason they ran those back in the day is sort of like the BMW i3s of today. So I'll bring this full circle. I was looking at those i3s, and I think it was i3, right? And I said, like,
the
why?
Little one is the i3.
Yeah,
and the
why
sports
are those?
Car
why are those?
Those
tires are so tall, but they're so thin. They're so thin. They're like a 10-speed rim on that thing.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? How's that going to work? And by the way, they know more than I do. It always works. Somebody said to me, look, it's not very wide, so it gets the low drag coefficient or rolling coefficient, yeah. whatever. But the bigger the circumference, the bigger the patch on the ground is. It's not the width.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the width is one part, but the circumference is another part. It gets you more of the width on the ground.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So those skinny tires we're looking at on an i3 right now have a bigger... So it's all about the patch that you put on the ground. So what Porsche did, the governing body said, you can't have anything wider than, I think, a 14-inch rim in the rear. And they're like, oh, but we got a ton of horsepower and we want to hook up. Not that 14 is not a ton of rim.
It's a ton.
It's a ton of rim.
Yeah.
But Porsche was like... So 14's it. Yeah, you can't go any wider than 14. And we're like, and they're like, okay. So if we put 14 wide 16-inch rears, we'll have this big a patch. But what if we went to a 19-inch rear? We'd have a bigger patch on the ground. So they ran 14 19s in the rear and like 12 16s in the front. I guess they didn't need it, the patch in the mm-hmm. front as bad as they needed the patch in the back. So all the vintage cars have the 19s in the back. They don't make those tires anymore. They don't make the rear 19s for that car anymore. So all the guys who run in vintage have to run 16 and 16 with just a bigger rear tire,
right.
but not the 19. So you...
I have one.
You have one?
With the tire.
19.
The original tire.
Oh, it's got the tire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wonder,
that's good for the glass
I wonder who made the tire. Do you recall?
It's a Goodyear tire.
It's a Goodyear tire.
This is, you know, I'm going back like 21 years when I called Sam Cabiglio up and I said, hey, I want to do one of those cool tire coffee table things, and he sent that over. I don't remember what it was until Seinfeld saw it, and he goes, hey, I need one of those. Like, what a what? A little table? He goes, no, that's a 935 wheel, dude. I go, it is.
The
why do you need a table?
He did want it. He wanted to take it out of there. He said, get out of here. That's where I have breakfast.
The 19, I don't think I'm making this up. I don't think you'd find that 19 on any other Porsche. Wow. So I think it must be from a 935. You already know that. Yeah. And it's a Goodyear tire. Now I'm curious what the size.
I know. I'm going to send you a picture.
You got to send pictures.
I'm
going to
get down there and send you guys a picture.
Send it. We'll put it up on social media so people can see that coffee table.
It's only taken 8 years for him to say social media.
Yeah, social media. I love that movie. And I love ZipRecruiter, man. It's tough to find the talent you need for your business. Well, that's why you got to go with ZipRecruiter. You post your job to 100-plus job sites with one easy click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Over 80% of jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Why not do that? No juggling emails or calls. Screen, rate, and manage candidates in one place with their super easy-to-use dashboard. Oh, I like that. It's got a car part name. Right now, my listeners can post jobs at ZipRecruiter, and they can do it for free. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/car, ZipRecruiter.com/car. Try it out for free. What do you got to lose? ZipRecruiter.com/car and try it for free. So you got hangar space. You got a 917 coffee table. You're waiting for the RS.
935 coffee table.
935. You're waiting for the 2. When do you think the 2's coming in?
I heard a year from September on this one. By then,
there's like a whole other...
Yeah.
Don't do that to Spike. Come on. Don't
700
do that,
horsepower. Then. It's going to be an amazing car. I actually have another one that I'm waiting to hear about, too. My friend and I are partnered on them. Do you have friends who partner on cars like this?
No.
My co-host on the podcast, Zuckerman, is a personal injury attorney. And he's masterminded this partnering on vintage cars. So
it's
he has
smart.
A very big collection with partners from his firm, you know, a couple of us. And everybody kind of kicks in money for different cars. And, you know, when someone's not driving it, you drive it. And it actually worked. I've been watching it. I was nervous about it because he's a lawyer. And if it goes wrong, I know what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to get decimated by this guy.
Yeah.
But it also takes a lot of the preciousness of owning these cars off. You know, you drive them, you use them together, and then if you want out, you just buy the other guy out, and it's working well.
You were in on like half a Lotus.
I was. Then my sister got divorced, and I've never seen that half again. Yeah.
So you lost half your car. See, this is where it could go wrong.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for me. My sister got divorced, and the guy just took the Lotus. And surprise, I haven't heard anything about him or being reimbursed or
send you a check?
Making me whole again. No. He has a fairly rich history of not making me whole. Land deals and down payments on houses in Silver Lake. It doesn't really work out for Rich Whitey in the end.
Well, I think your RS is going to be a badass car.
What is give us the specs on the RS.
Well, it's a twin turbo 700 and horsepower to the rear wheels.
Wow.
It's going to have PDK. They're not going to give you a manual transmission in it. It's just going to be a monster.
We only know about this car because the guys from Forza Motorsport came in, and it's their cover car for the game, and
that's
they brought one here. And
you
like,
saw it.
Yeah, they're like, come down and see the car.
You're not interested in that?
I appreciate it. It's like I could never get whatever it's capable of out on the street. And so it's like I completely appreciate it. I guess it's sort of like, you know, do you want to live in Candy Spelling's old house in Brentwood? I'm like, it's 52,000 square feet. You know, and it's like... It's so nice, but I don't need a wrapping room.
Square feet.
Well, no, she moved to Wilshire, But
I know, she, but that house her, you're talking about was in Beverly Hills.
The one that was next to the Playboy Mansion is like 50,000 square feet.
Yeah, Holmby Hills. That's not a GT2 RS.
You're right, but it's too much. It's too much for me.
Talking about.
It's too much for me.
Monster.
I couldn't utilize it. Yeah. I'm saying I can't utilize it. There's three refrigerators in the kitchen.
You drive a 935. This is the street version of that car. The car is related to your car.
You're right.
If you want, looks like
I'll
the car.
I'll take yours.
But, here, I'm making you an offer. I have another one I'm waiting to hear about from Mark Brenner in Pennsylvania. Sloan Porsche, new dealership. He says, I'm one of the first guys in line there. Hopefully, I'll hear about him. I'll partner with you on that car. I'll own two halves of a GT2 RS.
What are those things sticker for?
I don't know.
Are they like 200 grand?
I think they're on the website.
I think they're higher. I think they're 290, 300.
GT2 RS. It's on the Porsche website.
Right. Adam.
Forget the options,
have you ever owned a new Porsche?
Price.
No.
You haven't.
A part of it is low self-esteem in a weird way. Like,
well,
this
will raise your self-esteem, and you'll drive it for a year. So you sell it, and you'll make a little money, and you'll like that. And then someone else will enjoy the car.
Okay. I like, 293.
Yeah.
293.2.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. But that's a lot of car, man.
That's a lot.
What's the best color? Give us the color.
All right. I have some opinions on it. You know, here's...
Yeah. I want some opinions.
In my opinion, Porsche kind of screwed up with the colors. They offered the same color palette as the regular 911. So that's Miami blue, a silver, a gray, a black, a white, lava orange. You know, just the... They should have offered four or five special colors just for this car because
right.
it's such a special car.
Right.
So when you go and you build one of these things, in my opinion, the only good colors where this car looks right are black,
mm-hmm.
just a black with red and black interior.
Yeah,
don't do a red steering wheel. They have the Alcantara and the stick shift because
it'll never stay red.
It'll never stay clean.
I don't like steering wheels should be black.
Right.
Number one. Number two. I'm not a fan of a black exterior, but with a red interior, I am.
Yeah, when you look at it like that.
A black car with a red interior is awesome looking.
And they have special wheels that are gold colored just for this car, which are really
cool. And that looks great on the black as well. We're looking at pictures of it.
And they have a $35,000 Vysok package for the car, which you know you have to get it.
That's only like 17 each, guys.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to. Everybody who in the future who's going to want a GT2 RS, the first question they're going to ask is, do you have the Vysok package? Which I don't even know what the Vysok package is. I think it's a separate set of stripes on it. I think it's maybe a little lighter. I don't know. But it's $35,000 extra.
Well, what we've learned.
It's only 31,000.
Put the information button right there on the right. And you'll
on the
see.
Right.
There you go.
To try to speak.
Oh yes, and the most important, carbon fiber rear wing with a large Porsche logo on it. So you're paying. It's gorgeous. When you look at the car down and you see that Porsche logo on the top of the wing, it's definitely worth $31,000 for a sticker.
Super light wheels.
The lighter wheels.
The gardener who's on the A-frame ladder, who's trimming the hedge, when he looks
this
down.
This is aspirational. That's aspirational.
That's right. I agree. First of all, it's a beautiful piece. And yes, all kidding aside, when you guys order these cars, get the full Monty package because later on, when these things go to sell, we see so many of these things. Like, it's even like with like, oh, it's a 65, 350 Mustang. Oh, it's an automatic.
Although,
okay, that's not going to fetch the kind of
my
price.
My GT2 RS will be the only one without the $35,000 Porsche wing package.
So I like black. I like chalk. Silver's okay.
But is chalk the white?
Chalk is kind of like mode grau, like fashion gray color.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good color.
Yeah. So it's like it's off-white, non-metallic.
What do you go with the interior with that then? Red looks good with that, too.
It does. I would do the black and red interior and then pick off the problems with it, the stick shift, the steering wheel, and just take some of the red out of it. Because it has to – you can't make – you know, there's a 911R someone offered me last week that's just a silver-black car. And what I learned from that, and the reason it's not selling, is this car doesn't look special. It's a special car that doesn't look special.
Right.
So you need to, when you're making a car like this, build it in a special way so that it stands out a little bit.
It's got to be a little over the top.
Yeah, it's going to be a little over the top.
Car, so
and the guys who are going to be buying these things secondhand are going. They have money and they want the best of the best. The guy who really took their time to figure it out.
And also, in terms of resale and value down the road, you know, when you do a combo that's unique versus black on black,
right?
Because they'll give you the numbers. They'll go, they produced 488 right. cars, and 311 of them were black on black. Yeah. They only made one with the orange with the Vysok package and the red whatever, and that's it gets more and more elite. Because really, ultimately, all we're talking about here, whether we're talking on Spike's show about the Newman's Rolex, there are a lot of Rolex Daytonas. Not so many that they're $500, but so many that they're $100,000 or whatever. They varies, but there's only one of these, and there's quite a few Porsches, and then quite a few less with the turbos, the GT2s, and then quite a few less in this color package. And you're trying to get to that rarefied air where there's just not a whole bunch of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either way, it's cool to have a Porsche and it's cool to have a Rolex, but when you get in really deep, you want the Rolex and the Porsche, and that's kind of how it works.
I've also been thinking a lot about how many GT cars can the world hold. So they made that first GT3 RS that didn't even come to the United States, right? It was a 996 variant, the blue emblems and red emblem. But then they've been making lots of GTTs, GT3s, GT2s, GT3 RSs. Yeah. Eventually, we're sated as a car culture, right? And that is a moment I believe is kind of coming up too. That maybe you won't make money in this GT2 RS. Not that it matters. That's not why I buy cars. But maybe we all have what we need.
I don't know. I think the market's pretty good on Porsches. Maybe the GT cars.
Maybe we're slowing down on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Right
and then
now.
You got to figure politics. Like, what if Bernie Sanders gets in and he decides to confiscate? He puts it to a vote. Like, who wants to confiscate all the Porsches? And everyone's hand goes flying up. Like, sure, we'll get one.
They're very friendly.
We'll build a monorail with the money we use, and we melt them down.
That should happen, but didn't Volvo just say that they're only going to make electric cars? Didn't they just
They're going to make electric and hybrid cars only, but I believe Rolls-Royce is doing that, and Aston Martin just announced
it
as well.
Everybody's doing it. That's and, where we're all headed.
Volvo and Aston Martin can get away with it. 12-cylinder with an electric
But the more
motor.
Likely scenario is you can't drive gas-powered cars anymore, folks.
Volvo's going to do an alternative fuel car that just runs off douche. I don't know if you heard it, Matt. Did we talk about that in Monterey?
We heard that. Somewhere it came up.
They have a Massengale edition, like they had the Levi edition Gremlin back in Gremlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll work. Like, I remember really having this thought when I was like, so I'm older than you guys. So I remember it was like 1979, 1980. I was in high school in like 1980, 81, 82. And I remember thinking, I really love cars. I really love cars, but I don't have any money. And gas is now $1 a gallon. Like I remember. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you heard a report, it was like, well, we're pretty much going to be run dry here in about a decade. Or, you know, they go, by the year 2000, we'll be out of gas. Mm-hmm. But if we have gas, it'll be $100 a gallon. And I'll be like, damn, how am I going to be in the year 2000? And then I was like, somewhere in my early 30s, I think. And then I was like, I want a cool car, but I won't. And then also, you got to go to 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84. Porsches were pretty slow. Ferraris were pretty slow. Corvette, nothing. Like, everyone is just being strangled by regulations and fuel and air, you know, AQMD and everything.
Emissions.
And it's like, these cars just keep getting slower and slower and, like, less cool and less attractive and bulkier and heavier.
And
it's like, you couldn't buy a new Corvette in 1982 would have done 0 to 60 in 8.7 seconds or something. Like a Scirocco would kill it 5 years later. So I was getting like really bummed out about the future. And now I've just kind of realized, nah, I think there's always going to be fuel. And I think there's always going to be horsepower. And there's always going to be noise. And we're just in.
Like,
screw
I keep
the
believing
kids,
somebody's going to figure it out, right? Like, it's probably naive, but
you mean like Dodge? You know, it's like Dodge comes out with the
The demon.
Yeah. It's got.
Doesn't that feel like an end point? That just feels like the end. The official end of those types
I'll
of
I'll tell you what happens.
They're like, the marketing is like, it's a streetcar that pops wheelies.
We need a story. Like, there's, here's how they shut down. How they shut down Tailhook, that's how we shut down Cars and Coffee with a couple of prostitutes out to Irvine. Shut the whole thing down, saying they were cornered in the bathroom, they feared for their life. You know, that kind of stuff. We'll get the whole place. Gloria Allred will get on it. The whole place shut down. Now, the way we get rid of cars and internal combustion engines, we get Lena Dunham to get in a demon and wrap it around. Like, she runs into Caitlyn Jenner, and they both die in a fireball on PCH, and then everyone will get outraged, and that'll be it. Because they don't know. Like, right now, they'll go, she was in a car with 870 horsepower. And they'll go, what? No!
She's riding wheelies down PCH.
Who makes this car? This guy's in Detroit. Oh, no! Let's go, Antifa, guys! We got a new place to march. Antifa, or whatever they're called. All right. That would get it shut down.
Done.
I don't think they know what we're doing. That's what I'm saying.
We've solved the world's problems.
I'm pretty sure Lena Dunham doesn't know what a Dodge Demon is.
You don't think she's got one?
I'm going to tweet it to her later.
She made the top of my list, Spike, of I have a list not of women who I would like to have sex with.
Yeah.
I have a list of women who would be disgusted if they had sex with me.
Yeah.
And she's number one.
How long
Sadly,
is that list?
I think we cut it off at 20. We didn't want to. We only had
really
the show
short.
Was only 90 minutes
for a fellow like
no,
you.
No, we cut again. We cut, you know what Porsche does with the GT program? We got a list.
I think it's bigger than 918.
No, that's why we have to cut it off. We cut it at 20
thousand.
You got to find the list. Lena's number one. I think my wife's number two, and I can't remember who else.
I would put my wife at number one, I think.
On my list?
On my list.
Oh, okay.
On my list.
That'd be weird. No, the wife is for sure. That kind of abuse.
No. No,
I got enough
happy
people
with
on my
you.
List.
She's got very mean, happy with you, Adam.
Weird.
You're different. You're not me.
It'll be a smooth transition. I like cars too, sweetie. My bookie. Where you're betting at. Just as important as who you're betting on. Go to mybookie.ag. That's .ag. They've been in the business for years. Their reputation is rock solid. 100% cash bonuses and fast payouts. Just two business days. In-game and live betting. Most rewarding player perks in the business. And an all-new mobile app site that makes wagering go like a breeze. That's right. So, and this whole, like, during the game, Matt, you're not a sports guy, but the idea that you can get a little action at halftime or in the third quarter, and that the it just keeps changing as the one team scores, other team scores,
good. That's how Sonny's spending his ringtone money.
That's how Sonny's going to spend his ringtone money. Join now, and my bookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Wow. Sweet. Use promo code CARCAST to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag. All right. Spike.
I got the list if you want.
Oh, yeah. Just the top five.
Top five. All right. Come in. Number five. Ellen.
Ellen. Oh, Ellen DeGeneres.
You can just say Ellen. We all know who you mean.
All right. Number four, Caitlyn Jenner. Number three, Michelle Obama. Number two, Lynette Carolla.
Yeah.
Sir. And Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham's number one.
Big winner.
There you go. Big winner. If there's anything that would motivate her to take that Dodge Demon and just drive it into a freeway barrier, I think that could be a post-coitus.
What a cool car choice for her. I would love to see her do that.
I'd like her
that
to do that.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get her one. Get her a press car for a week.
Spike's Car Radio. How much would you... I want to say this right now. I just bet on the Floyd Mayweather fight, and it was one of these things where somebody just said, look, he's going to win the fight. You just bet a bunch of money, and you'll win a little bit of money, but it'll be free money because he's going to win the fight. If I said to you right now, Lena Dunham knows how to drive a stick... you bet $1,000, I'll give you $100 back. Would you be smart just to mortgage everything, liquidate every asset, and just come up with, like, push a pile of cash of, $2.8 million and go, I'm just going to make, I'll make $500,000, like, like that, you or 250 grand or whatever. Like
everything I own.
But there's always the part where she goes, well, my uncle had a farm outside.
Right.
Like he wasn't in Chicago, but he was out in Illinois. Like it was about a mile away. And we used to go, like, I would get her to tell that story just for the pucker factor. Because you think he had an old Ford pickup truck and he used to, whatever it is.
Nobody drives stick anymore. No.
Spike's Car Radio is the podcast every Wednesday at Podcast One and iTunes. Oh, wait a minute. Take me out. Teach me how to drive a stick. Oh, shift with
a
heels.
Tweet from Lena Dunham. Okay.
Taking number four out. Lena and Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That was 2 years ago, too. A little more than 2 years ago, so she might already know. At 3:43 a.m., she tweeted that.
The show Car Match is
How much did I win?
Available on Amazon. And you can shoot him a spike at Spike Ferriston, everybody. Live shows, go to adamcroll.com. I'll be going to Chicago and Minneapolis and Nashville doing live stand-up one-man shows. And then also we got live podcasts coming up in Irvine and Oxnard. Just go to adamcroll.com. Go to chassis, 2S's and a Y.com, and see all the movies we're putting out. People really enjoy those movies. And there's Shift and Steer. That's Matt's podcast. Subscribe to Podcast One. And you get some Mangry and some Endless Rant over at Corolla Drink. Say hi to Lynette over there. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Spike Ferriston and Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.